AM 910, WJCW, Carl and Ellick with you right here on a Wednesday morning, with you till 9 o'clock. Every Wednesday about this time, we're joined by Bill Hall.
I'm seeing that if you even vary a from that microphone, I mean, you literally have to be right here with that microphone. As big and powerful as your voice is,
yeah,
literally, you turn like this. It's like, hey, I'm not...
Sorry. Okay.
Golly, you know, we got to get on our engineer.
Yeah, really. I'd like to reset these. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, that's technical stuff.
Should I stop sitting on my microphone?
No. You need to be right up on it, too.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
No pressure.
Oh, yeah.
No pressure.
Yeah, stuff here.
Yeah, no pressure. I feel pressure right now. It's the microphone. I got it.
There you go.
Anyway.
Talking real estate in Northeast Tennessee with Bill Hall. It is a turbulent, crazy, unprecedented, never seen before, what are we going to do kind of real estate market right now, at least from my outside opinion looking in. What say you?
It's kind of crazy right now, Carl. I mean, you know, it's kind of just a little different right now. And I know that we're going through a shift, that I know that it's normal, and people need to realize that the real estate world, or the housing market, for instance, does go through shifts, and it goes through cycles. Sometimes it's a buyer's market, sometimes it's a seller market, sometimes it's a balanced market. And of course, keep in mind, when we feel like we have a 4 to 6 month supply of homes, it's probably a buyer's, it's a balanced market.
Okay.
And then right now we don't have that many, so it still continues to be a seller's market, even though some houses right now are not selling.
Mm-hmm.
And so you say, well, what causes that? And frankly, I don't know. I'll give you an example. I put a house for sale in Southwest Johnson City 2 weeks ago. This is a house that was built in 2016 and should have had multiple offers on it and a boatload of showings, right? It had one showing initially. The lady never saw the house, made a full price offer on it, and then when she came in town to look at it, she wasn't quite crazy about it, and she terminated her contract based on inspections, which she could have done. You know, that was her prerogative.
Sure.
That is her prerogative. So that happened, and then we took a price reduction on that property, because I suggested that we do, and then it went under contract immediately again for almost what we had it repriced for. And now we're just waiting to close, and it looks like it's going to close. And so you say to yourself, well, it had such a few amount of showings, maybe a 3 or 4 showings in the entire time, and I would have thought it would have had 33 showings, you know. So this goes to show you that I don't know everything, no matter what I think I say. But anyway, so then yesterday afternoon, I put a house for sale in North Hills, part of Johnson City, and a little bit on the high side, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it had showings last night. It's got showings every minute today. I mean, just like 20 showings going
right
on. I mean, it's just crazy. The difference between the two, and I can't understand what the difference is other than the location was slightly better on house number 2, the one I listed yesterday afternoon, because it's in North Hills, the older part of Johnson City, where
right
that is. Yeah, like that's kind of, you know, that's where people want to be, the Town Acres area,
right,
they call that. And that's a real popular part of Johnson City.
Is that La-ti-da music playing in my ears as I roll through? Dun, dun,
yes,
dun,
of course, of course.
Oh, hello,
yeah,
hello.
Yeah. It's a small world. Anyway, so I don't understand the difference between those two houses, and you really can't explain that other than the market is really looking for some sort of common ground to settle at. I mean, right now the initial reaction was the people got out of the housing market because they couldn't find a house. Then the interest rates went up and their payment went up by 25%. So because the interest rates go up, their payment goes up 25%. Now they can't afford or don't want to afford to buy a house, and I totally get it.
Yeah.
Okay, I totally get that. But then coupled with that, so if you're not going to buy a house, then you're going to rent one, and rents are going through the roof. Every single person that owns rental property, these apartment complexes as well as single-family homes that are rented out, are all upping their rent substantially. I'm talking about 14 to 15% increase in rents. So people are going to be paying a fortune to continue to rent their house, and I don't see anything changing in that for a while. Now, there is some good news at the end of the tunnel is that people were buying properties and then canceling them across the nation about one-third. And we were seeing one-third what we call a fallout. That means they didn't quite make it. They got under contract, but they didn't close because the people pulled out for one reason or another.
Right.
A lot of that happened initially because interest rates were starting to go up. People couldn't afford the payments. So they said, well, I'm not buying the house because I can't afford that payment.
Yeah, when we started this, it was at 3-something, and now it's at 6-something.
Six
I'm
and
like,
a half, yeah.
No.
Yeah,
I'm good.
So that the double that occurred in the interest issue affected people's payments by as much as 20-25% increase. Because remember, on a home mortgage, you pay your interest up front.
Right.
It's crazy. It doesn't even make sense to me like that, but it does that. The only way you can get a balance is if you sell it refi faster. Yeah, or refi. So it's kind of interesting that when we started this thing, about a third of the homes that were listed and went under contract fell through across the nation and in our area too. Well, now it's gotten down to about 18%, in our area about 17%. So we're seeing about a 17% fallout rate in the homes that go under contract. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that people are pulling back. I mean, it does mean that we're showing a resistance from buyer activity in that market area. Now, what does that mean for homeowners? There's home sellers, for instance. Well, it means we have to price our home a little bit more aggressively, and we can't ask for a ridiculous amount and expect to get it because that probably won't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when things were cheap, you know, last year, even before that, folks bought into it, okay, bought into a house,
sure,
bought into the housing market and so forth. Now they want to sell, okay, but in order to regain some kind of a recoup on the heightened value of the property, but if they are planning to move to a new home themselves, they're looking at a new home with these same high 6% rates now.
Yes.
And having to go, wow, do I really want to undertake that large an investment? Do you see that happening?
I see that happening some, Carl, mainly in our more mature audience. You're the more mature group of people, the older people.
Okay.
Because they're downsizing. They can't afford to continue to maintain these houses that they're living in look at your
house. That's why we downsized.
Yeah, that's why you downsized, right. Yeah. So, I mean, the same thing applies to everybody. I mean, you know, it may have not me yet, but, you know, 10 years from now, it may be me, you know. Mm-hmm. So what happens is people can't continue or don't want to continue maintaining a house that nobody's living in except for them and their cat and their dog, and maybe some goldfish. But they put their house on the market in hopes to take some of this profit that's out there. It's a once in a lifetime thing. We talked about that. And so I don't blame them. I don't blame them. And a lot of them, the older people, are making plans to move in with other family members. So we're seeing a consolidation there, which is really a good sign too.
I think it's healthy for the American family, speaking in general terms.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I definitely think that households should be multi-generational. I think it's important for the health of the household to be multi-generational.
And it's been that way for most of our lives through history, too.
Especially in other countries, more so than in the United States. Yeah. We always try to have our own house, kick our kids out. Remember, I can't wait till my kids get 18. I've heard that a million times. I can't wait. I said, why can't you wait till they get 18? Because if you kick them out of the house, you won't see them again for a long time. You know? So, I mean, get used to not having them around for a while. Yeah. But some people think that's good. I think it's like multi-generational is the way to go, for sure. What do you think about that, Ellen?
I think it's a great thing if you have a great, quote-unquote, grandmother or a great grandfather, but if they're jerks, let's be real, because we had somebody in yesterday. I actually told her, I don't know if
in your house
that. No, here in the studio.
Yeah.
I actually told her, I wish you were my grandmother, you know, because she was so sweet.
Guest,
and
delightful.
just delightful. And I was kind of like, man, because all my grandparents have gone, you know, and I just want to have somebody to go, hey,
go volunteer at one of the assisted living care facilities if you want to be around older people so much? I guess not that much.
Not so much.
No. Maybe you go by that lady's house on the weekends and have, like, coffee.
Pop them in a couple of vans and, drop them off at my house, you know.
You know, who knew, guys? I mean, who knew that Alec had an infatuation for older people? Nobody ever knew. All he wanted is a grandma. That's all he wants is his own grandma.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's sweet, but you know, and the thing about it is, I like older people getting involved and staying current, staying active, staying, you know, involved, like volunteering at the hospitals. You remember they had the candy stripers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hospitals wouldn't even be able to operate correctly without volunteers, even though they're extremely profitable organizations.
Yeah, and I think that's crazy.
I don't quite get that. But But yeah, it's good. Multi-generational families and households are wonderful. And as we continue to get into this economic situation, good, bad, or indifferent, whatever it is, I think we're going to see more multi-generational families living together. I think it makes sense. I think it makes good financial sense.
Okay. Well, there you go. I mean, from someone in the industry who should know about it in the house.
Now, am I going to take a family member in with me? No, I don't have any left.
Absolutely not.
I'm not having any left. But I am going to meet this lady that Alex says is the best grandmother in the world, because I don't have a grandmother either. Anyway.
She was delightful, and she'd love you.
What was the topic?
She was over here visiting from a retirement community.
Oh, okay, right.
Just talking about that, and just kind of like you. I mean, I'm not kissing butt. Right. Everybody knows when Bill Hall walks into a room, the energy level, and it just brightens.
Right.
You know,
well,
it's just kind of like, hey, there's Bill. Hey, what's up?
I appreciate that. I love people, and they end up, some of them love me back. But
yeah.
I mean, I do, you know, you got to have that love for humanity and people.
It's better to have that kind of love going into a room than when they say, well, I'm glad he came into this room.
Yeah.
The other thing could have been when you leave.
About time. Well, he never
leaves. We better wrap it up here talking about real estate.
All right, so listen, here's the deal, guys. The deal is there's never been a better time to buy a house, and there's never been a better time to sell a house. That's always been that way, and it will continue to be that way. The time is now. When you make that emotional decision to buy or sell, let's get this thing going, because that's the best time to do it. We'll work out the details later. You can do that by calling me. If you have any questions, the people could call me. And that number is 530-7077 is my office number. And my cell number is 423-946-7575.
946-7575. Okay. Say it one more time for emphasis.
423-946-7575.
Thank you, Bill Hall. We'll talk to you next week.
I can't hardly wait.